हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 68. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, because the Atma is covered by the body is perceived as the Atma. Actually, however, the Atma is not affected by the body, nor is the Paramatma affected by the Jiva. First, this verse can be explained as referring to the Jivatma and matter. There is no permanent contact of the soul with the material body, which is impermanent, having a beginning and an end. Because there is no contact, then there is no separation. How does this take place? The Jivatma acts as the source of manifestation of the body. Because the Jiva is the manifester of the material body, it is not contaminated by it. How can the manifester be contaminated by that which it manifests? Referring to, so that's Balaram's point is being made, since the body is coming from the Paramatma, then this doesn't seem to be a passing sannyasa. No. You're hired. It's really good. I mean, it's good that they're chanting, but they could go up and chant. I'm sure the cows would be happy. Okay, so what Lord Balaram continue. Oh, intelligent lady, the soul never undergoes contact with or separation from insubstantial material objects, right? Sorry?
One paragraph.
One more paragraph.
One more paragraph.
One paragraph left off, but you didn't notice that we went
yes.
back.
Yes.
So then why would you be worrying about the paragraph that you didn't finish? Right? Okay, I mean, for all the Shruti Dars that just by hearing once they remember and all that, then there's not a problem. But for the others who can't even remember what we had for lunch yesterday, we're not going to remember what we discussed yesterday morning, right? Yes. So, what did we have for lunch yesterday? Okay. Did we have lunch yesterday? Okay. Okay, the soul never undergoes contact with or separation from insubstantial material objects because the soul is the very origin and illuminator, right? So in this, then, it's because of the soul, then you have a particular body, right? It's because of your consciousness of the soul, that gives you a particular body. So that means if the soul is the one, is the origin. It means we understand the Lord's the actual origin. But the point is why you get what you get is because of the particular nature of the soul. So therefore, it's substantial, because it's the soul's eternal, the body's temporary. Therefore, then whatever comes and goes with the body, why you should be worried about it? It's a temporary thing. It has nothing to do with the soul. It means we identify with it, then it gives us trouble. But we don't have to identify with it. Therefore, we don't have to have trouble. Right? It's a simple formula. You don't like the trouble that you get from the material body and the environment the material body's in. Then the easy point, don't identify with it. Use it, engage it, but don't identify with it. But if you think this is me, you'll have problem. If you think this is the body I have to engage in Krishna service, then you won't have any problem. That's the...
It's a short course.
Yeah. Oh, now they're going in. Sounds like that. Okay. Okay, referring to Paramatma Jiva, the verse can be explained as follows. The Paramatma has no contact with a Jiva or his impermanent body, Asata, because the Paramatma is the source of manifestation of the Jiva and his body by his very nature as God. So just as says the Jiva is the cause of the manifestation of the body and is therefore not, is technically unaffected, so God being the source of the Jiva and the body, then he's unaffected. Right? So Paramatma is never contaminated by either the Jiva or the body manifested from him. The manifester is never contaminated by the manifested. In both cases, the example of the sun applies. The sun has no contamination from the eye or form manifested from it. The sun is the Paramatma. The eye is the Jiva, and the form is the body. So then in that way, then it's seen. So we can see is that since the sun is Paramatma, the eye we're seeing, but we can only see because of the sun. So then that is what we're going into the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that the Lord is the eye of the eye.
Yes.
Right? So in other words, you can see because of him. Without him, you can't see. It's interesting always how these two, you can see how Bhagavatam is the natural commentary, because so many times when we're going through, just the verses exactly match.
I don't
know. Yeah. Because if you're talking the philosophy, then it's always going to be the same. So Lord Balaram's discussing Vedanta, so it'll be the same.
And Vedanta Sutra also, the first part mentions where the person within the eye is Brahman.
Yes, the person within the eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lord Balaram continued, birth and other transformations are undergone by the body, but never by the self. Just as change occurs for the moon's phases, but never for the moon. Right? The moon is always the same size. It just has these phases. But he's always the same, because you can always see the moon's there, just a part of it is lit. Though the new moon day may be called the moon's death, as a sleeping person perceives himself, the objects of sense enjoyment and the fruits of his acts within the illusion of a dream. Okay. As a sleeping man perceives himself, the objects of sense enjoyment and the fruits of his actions within the illusion of a dream. So one who is unintelligent undergoes material existence. So you can say is that the moon is there, but then you have that form, and it goes from being full to nothing. So that would be the death of moon. Then it comes back again. So in the same way, the soul is there, it gets a material body, and from that it goes through its phases, and then it disappears, and then it starts again. So we'd call it the death of the living entity, but technically the soul doesn't die. Footnote 29. The BBT purport mentions, as stated in Shruti, Asango Hyayam Purushaha, the living being has no intimate connection with the material world. This point is explained in the present verse. A similar statement is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:22-56. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away, just as the unpleasant experiences of a dream do not. So, when we're meditating on sense gratification, that's then where all the troubles come from. Because material happiness means you have to remove a distress to be happy. Does that make sense? You have to take it into negative to be positive. Does that make sense? So, So the neutral point isn't actually happiness. It's just neutral. So it's not trouble. So in that way, it's a liberated state. So you see, it's generally men, then they'll work for to remove the problems, and having removed the problems, that interim state, they will define that as the happiness they're looking for. Right? Because it doesn't, nothing's functioning, nothing's working, but at the same time, there's no trouble. So then that's good. Right? But you see, the feminine nature, then when things go nice, if you want to increase the happiness, you have to create a problem or an anxiety to be removed to be happy.
Sure.
Hmm?
Sure. It is sure.
It's guaranteed. Not the happiness, but the trouble. You know, and then you have to remove it, yes.
We don't have an intimate connection with the material world as a source. But the another insecurity, do we have an intimate connection with the spiritual world?
Yes, it's just a matter of, we've covered that with this. You know, it's like a gold ring. Does a gold ring have an intimate connection with your finger? Yes, but if it's dropped in the mud until it's washed, you're not going to put it back on your finger. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
So like that, is that we have our natural position, but until we come to that position in its natural state, then how do we function in that? So it's there, but the only thing blocking it is that we're not worried about it being there. Does that make sense? We're worried about here, and we're worried about keeping here and getting there at the same time. But you can't do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, with transcendental knowledge, dispel the grief that is weakening and confounding your mind. Please resume your natural mood. O princess of the pristine smile. That's a new one. Princess of the pristine smile. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, the example of the sunshine and the material manifestations is very appropriate in understanding the living entity's contact with the material world. In the morning, the sun rises, and the heat and light gradually expand throughout the whole day. The sun is the cause of all material shapes and forms, for it is due to the sun that integration and disintegration of material elements takes place. But as soon as the sun sets, the whole manifestation is no longer connected to the sun, which has passed from one place to another. When the sun passes from the eastern to the western hemisphere, the results of the interactions due to the sunshine in the eastern hemisphere remain, but the sunshine itself is visible in the western hemisphere. Similarly, the living entity accepts or produces different bodies and different bodily relationships in a particular circumstance. But as soon as he gives up the present body except another, he has nothing to do with the former body. Similarly, the living entity has nothing to do with the next body he accepts. Right, so the living entity is in one body, that body then sets, but he goes on to the next body. But the material elements that made up the body still remain. Just like when the sun moves to the west, it's not that the east disappears. It's still there, but it's just without the sun. So it doesn't function in that same capacity. Similarly, the living entity has nothing to do with the next body he accepts. He is always free from the contact of this bodily contamination. Therefore, the appearance and disappearance of the body have nothing to do with the living entity. Just as the waxing and waning of the moon have nothing to do with the moon. When the moon waxes, we falsely think that the moon is developing, and when it wanes, we think the moon is decreasing. Factually, the moon, as it is always the same. It has nothing to do with such visible activities of waxing and waning. But he just loses potency. But he's still the same. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you can imagine there, you know, Soma is there with all his wives. And then, you know, each day he's getting thinner and thinner and thinner until he, you know, poof, disappears. And the next day that's that little sliver. No, he's always the same. It's just his potency gets less. That's all. One's consciousness in material existence can be compared to sleeping and dreaming. When a man sleeps, he dreams of many non-factual happenings. And as a result of dreaming, he becomes subject to different kinds of distress and happiness. Similarly, when a person is in the dream of material consciousness, he suffers the effects of accepting a body and giving it up again in material existence. Opposite to this material consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In other words, when a man is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from this false conception of life. Yeah. So just as in a dream, there may be so many emotions and feelings, but it's not real. The same way as what the conditioned nature is going through is also not real. Right? Because we're not that. It means it is there. The point is the body exists. It's made out of earth, water, fire, and air, and ether. But technically, this bunch of earth, water, fire, air, and ether actually couldn't care less about other earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Yes. It's the soul that, identifying with the body, then decides that, oh, this is a good situation for the body. This is not a good situation. So, yes. Verses 50 to 60. The wedding of Krishna and Rukmini. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus enlightened by Lord Balaram, slender Rukmini forgot her depression and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence. Footnote 30. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks, Rukmini responded accordingly, since she is by nature the form of the great Chit Shakti. She is eternally intelligent, right? Because being Chit, then that means it's knowledge. So, yeah. Because of that relationship, she can enlighten even Sankarsana. Thus, her enlightenment, Pratibodhita, by Balaram, was an exchange with him, a response like an echo.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise, someone would ask, well, how does she come? This is just, it's just an interaction. It's pastime. Like that, because that brings out the flavors that there's cause for interaction. Otherwise, if there was nothing to do, nothing ever went wrong, then what would men and women do? Right? There'd be nothing to do. So therefore, then these are created. So there's interaction. So on the spiritual platform, then it's very nice. On the material platform, then it's overrated. Right? So. Does that make sense? So the point here is that there has to be, but they're interacting on the spiritual platform. But the form of it is the same. Because the living entity wants to enjoy what goes on in the spiritual world, so that it means it's the same activities. Huh? And so those activities, the principle of that's brought here. And so the actual pious form of it is there. The religious process of it is there. But it will never be exactly the same because there it's connected to Krishna. There it's about Krishna. While here it's connected to ourselves, it's about ourselves. What is it? Of ourselves, for ourselves, by ourselves. Yeah. And that's the problem. We end up by ourselves, right? You know. That means anything? No? Okay. It's one of those somewhere. Yeah, by ourselves means we do it, but by ourselves means we're alone, right? Yeah. Yes.
This point of transition of the body from one material body to the next, it's pretty straightforward.
Right.
However, the transition from material body in consciousness to the spiritual body in consciousness, it's very crucial. It's what we're trying to
gain. Yes, yes.
So basically there are a few approaches. One is saying you have to start building your spiritual body right now. Otherwise, by the time of death, it's kind of too late because it's not there yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
And the other one says you just practice, you know, sadhana bhakti. Don't worry about it. When you're there, you will get it. So, you know, just relax.
Yeah. So the soul... What's happened is this body is covering the spiritual body. So that means then the spiritual body is always there. It's not that you have to create it. See, if we have the idea I'm the controller, right? Because why are you worried about getting that spiritual body? Because then you'll be happy. So I'm going to get the spiritual body in which I'll be happy. I, mine, like that. That's what's there. That's where the worry comes from. Because if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. And the spiritual body's already there. It's covered. It's like we said, you have the gold ring covered by mud. It's not that you have to create the ring. You know, while you're removing the mud, you're meditating on the ring and this. No. You just know what the ring is, and you know what the mud is, and how to remove the mud, then you have the ring. So it only takes a moment to do that. It's not that, you know, if you don't have it done by then, it only takes a moment. Does that make sense? So that moment is done. You think of Krishna, then that's done. Now, if before that it naturally starts to reveal itself, then that's fine. But it's not that you have to do that. You can't do that. We're covered by the mud. So it's not that we can, it's something for us to do. For us, it's to focus on Krishna. The body is something you use. Like, to give another example, you know, which may remove the doubt, is that in Brahma Samhita, that it's making the point that the residents of the spiritual world, whatever their relationship with Krishna, that mood of relationship, that attraction to Krishna, that rati, that's there first. Then there's a form that matches that. Right? That's how it works. So therefore, what you have to work on is the mood. Body's already there. That'll naturally, as the mood develops, then that will be accessible. But the point is, if you don't have the mood, you can't use the body anyway, because the body is just like, you know what I'm saying, the gross body comes from the subtle body.
Yeah.
So in the same way, is our attraction to Krishna, our consciousness, you know, and then the subtle body is coming from the polluted consciousness. Right? So in the same way, the pure consciousness, then if the pure consciousness, then is what is the production of the spiritual form. So we have a natural spiritual form because we have a natural relationship with Krishna. It's just a matter of it's been covered by our idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. And because I'm the controller and enjoyer, we've been given a body suitable for our consciousness at the moment. That's why the point's being made. It just comes and goes. You know, one changes into the next. Is that? So we don't have to worry about developing the spiritual body. It's already there. What we have to worry about is developing the consciousness to be able to use the spiritual body. Does that make sense? So the spiritual body is covered by the material, but our ability to use it, that's what is not there. So you can't use it because it's covered by, we identify with the gross body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious. So one is saying, no, we have to do it now. Is it what was that? T-shirt, Samadhi Now. Right? You know? You never saw that? You know, Prabhupada says Samadhi later. So in Vrindavan, the Prabhupada's Samadhi wasn't being built. It wasn't moving fast forward and all that, or here, you know, because everyone gets worried about their own things. So then this movement came out, Samadhi Now. It means we want Prabhupada's Samadhi built now. But it was a playoff of that, you know, Samadhi later. So that's the thing is that we have to work on on Samadhi. Is that we're fully absorbed exclusively in Krishna in a, you know, affectionate, favorable way. So that's what we have to work on. So it's that application of oneself to the sadhana that by Krishna's grace will attain that. Him being pleased, then that happens. So we don't have to separately try to do that. It's not our sadhana. Otherwise, if it was, the acharyas would mention it. But they don't say that you're putting it together. You know, otherwise, how do you build this spiritual body? You know, what does that mean? Is the whole thing there, but it's kind of like a hologram that it kind of, you know, buzzes now and again and then disappears, and then you got to get, you know, adjust the, what do you call it, the antenna, and so it starts coming back again. Or is it like, you know, now you have a little finger or something, and so that little finger is like bouncing around on the floor, and then if someone steps on it, then you have to start all over again, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? You were hoping for a golden color, but someone stepped on it, so it got bruised, so now it turned black. And, you know, it's like, you know, oh, no, now, you, yeah. You don't, we don't have to do all that. It's not part of our. So it's not that it's just later or that I'm going to do it. It's I'm going to work on the consciousness. Working on the consciousness, that will then develop our ability to use the spiritual body. Because even we have, we're in Surup, it doesn't mean we necessarily use it to the best advantage. Like you see those gopis, then they got married, they had children, they got very distracted from there. But they're in spiritual bodies, they're in their Surup. But it's not Surup Siddhi. You know, because those who say that I make the body, they think that having the body is Surup Siddhi. But that's Surup. Surup Siddhi is Apandas. That's Surup Siddhi. Because now you have the form, you can use it to serve Krishna. What's the purpose of form? To serve Krishna. Does that make sense? So they're a gopi, they have a spiritual form, but it's not fully engaged in Krishna service. So when they come to the point of samadhi, then they get that complete attraction to Krishna. Then they're able to actually perfect that form by engaging in Krishna service. Right, but it still hasn't come to prema, so technically it's not permanent because it's a transitory stage. So when it comes to the permanent stage, it's the same body, but now it's called Vastu Siddhi because now one has come to that platform where one can't, well, not, you know, lose that, cannot fall away. Does that make sense? So then that's the. So one doesn't have to worry. One just has to apply oneself to becoming Krishna conscious. That solves the whole thing. Then that naturally will develop this other. Because if you have the attitude of pure devotional service, then the spiritual body can be very nicely engaged. But if we don't have the attitude of pure devotional service, then we can't use the spiritual body. So that's it. So one has to be on that uttama platform of faith. That will then now allow us to perform pure devotional service that we will advance through. We'll get the taste, we'll get attachment, then we'll move on to bhava, that will move to prema. So you're doing something, but it's not that you're thinking of the body, you're thinking of this. Because otherwise, if you do that, they'll speculate and they'll go on and put together a body, then they'll read something that they think is a better looking body, then they'll want to add those. It's going to be a trouble. Right? You know, unless they have a degree in, transcendental plastic surgery or something, then they'll, you know.
Narada Muni in the first canto says that when he met with death in a maidservant body, son of a maidservant, he gave up his material body and was awarded a spiritual body simultaneously. Just yes. Like lightning and illumination occur.
He was saying, as Narada Muni, when he was discussing about that, as his birth as the son of a maidservant. Then it was at the time of death. At the time of death, then when he left the material body, he gained the spiritual body simultaneously. He says, and the example is given of light.
Lightning and illumination.
Lightning and illumination. When the lightning's there, everything is there. So it's like that. You know, because Prabhupada gave the example. It's like when, you know, like sometimes when you fall asleep and then when you wake up, he says that's how it is. You fall asleep means you're here, and then you wake up, you're in the spiritual world. It's like that. So, in other words, we have to take the advice given by those who are there, because otherwise, those who are enthusiasts about being there, it may or may not be the best. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you have a girl, right? A young girl. You know, of marriageable age, right? So now she's going to get one set of advice from already married, well-situated women. should get another set of advice for other such girls like herself that have been thinking about it for longer. Right? Which of the two is of value? That's the whole point. So when the acharyas say you don't have to worry about it, you worry about developing the consciousness, we don't have to worry about these other things. Does that make sense? Because otherwise these ideas come up, and then from there you take a word, you overemphasize it, you overextend it, and then you end up with those kind of things. Not that it doesn't have an original basis, but the method they're talking about is not the basis. It's not because I think about the particular body, that develops the body. No, because the whole point is about the consciousness. So I'm thinking about the body, what about the consciousness that develops the body? That's not being discussed. Right? You should remember the Astakaliya Lila. But the consciousness of that affection for Krishna, that's not mentioned. So all it is secondary aspects of devotional service. It may be on a higher platform, yes. But it's still secondary. Because for Mother Jashoda, her affection for Krishna is the primary. She expresses that primary mood that she has through her form and the situation around her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, we don't have to be in anxiety. Because that's one of the symptoms of bhava. I think there's six symptoms. So one of them, that they always are confident of Krishna's mercy. Because there is no other method. Right? Because we'll think maybe he will, maybe he won't. That's based on maybe because there's alternatives. But if all there is Krishna's mercy, everything that's going on is Krishna's mercy. Whatever we're able to do is Krishna anyway, whether it's spiritual or material. Therefore, it's just by his mercy, then it will happen. So if this process is given by him and we follow it, why wouldn't he reciprocate? Because that's his vow, to reciprocate as we surrender. So if we surrender, naturally to be there. So there isn't a separate thing that I have to be in anxiety and I have to work for it. Oh no, you know, I don't have enough time left to get the body, you know, it's like that. So then now's the matter, do I not have a head? But then the whole point is the whole rasa goes on by the head and all that and the smile and all that. But then, you know, but then I won't have feet. How do I get there? But if I don't have hands, then I can get there, but I can't use the fan. You know, so what's not going to be there? You know,
smaller body.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's what it. Yeah, just shrink it down. Yeah, I say the only midget gopi in Vrindavan. Yeah. You know, and everybody else goes up like that. Yeah, she didn't finish before they left the body. You know. That was a compromise. You know, it was that or no head. Okay, then she's doing great. Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, if there's a recommendation of that, that means yes, you have to develop by developing the consciousness. That develops it. But thinking about it doesn't develop it. Right. Does that make sense? Because it's developed from the affection that's there. The rati develops it. So unless you develop the rati, then what's the meaning of the body? Does that make sense? You can be attracted to a particular kind of rati. Does that make sense? And therefore, the qualities of a person with that rati, you try to cultivate. But you don't cultivate the activities of that rati. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, okay, then one's attracted to that cow, you know, let's say cowherd boys, so therefore, you know, we have to get ourselves a buffalo horn and all those kind of things and, you know, hang around in the temple with our stick and everything, bring in a few cows, and everyone else is going, what's with this guy? He's cultivating his, you know, spiritual body, you know. You know, saying you don't have, but the mood, how the cowherd boys, that, you know, everything Krishna does is wonderful and that, and they have that full faith in him and that surrender, and they're always wanting to serve. That you can cultivate. You understand? So that's the whole point. Rag bhakti means you're cultivating that. It doesn't mean the body. The body is not part of it. Because if you don't have the attitude, you don't have the body. That's why it says the Shravana Dasa means you're developing that attitude. Varna Dasa, then you can work with a particular form. But if you don't have the attitude, the form doesn't have any meaning. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it is a process, but the process is different. They're taking it in a secondary external form. but it has its natural original. You know. So that's why this whole idea of imagining ourselves, projecting ourselves in the past times, doing things, that's totally bogus. Because otherwise, why do they want, you know, would you be happy with that? You're in your house and there, sitting with your family, taking lunch. Then somebody projects themselves there at the dinner table and goes, you know, hey, I'll take some of that. And would you be happy with that? No? Yes? You know what I'm saying? So that the only point is that that doesn't how it works. You have the consciousness, then naturally, then that will be your place. Suddenly, yeah, like that. You have a good relation; they invite you to dinner. You don't just project yourself there, you know. Yeah.
According to modern psychologists, if you project yourself long enough, you will be there.
Yeah, it's called a dream. Yeah, it means if you do that long enough, then your next body, then you'll have that body. So it works in the material world, but that's what everyone's doing anyway. See, because thinking, feeling, willing, it's simply based on that. So if you see something you desire and all that, but the point is you have to have the knowledge and skills to be able to apply, because that will only generate willing. But then when you actually go to apply it, if you don't have the knowledge and skills, how will that work? You know, what will you do with that? You know, so you want a fancy car, okay, but how will you pay for that? How you don't have a driving license, you don't have, you know, or at least you should have a chauffeur, you know, something you should have. So the point is what's the meaning of just that? It's part of it, but they're taking the one part and making it the whole part. The whole. Who's that?
Just the last thing, because it's, you know, it's in my mind.
Okay.
The Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions both internal and external paths. And apparently he practiced both. So this is the only doubt. Otherwise, after him, he wasn't there.
No, it's still there. It's just the point is that if you're writing a singular book, and that singular book is going to take someone from Shraddha to Prema, right? Then that means it has everything in there for everybody. Just like, let's say you have a school, you know, let's say a secondary school, right? It's one of these that's like these Indian schools, they got 1 to 12 classes. Yeah, you know, standard. Now, in the library or wherever it is they keep it, they have the curriculum from grade 1 all the way to grade 12.
Yeah.
Right? So the point is when you're on grade 6 or grade 8, you use that book. But it's not that, oh, but why is that book there? I'm in grade 3, but that book is there for grade 8. Why that's there? It's for 8th graders. Right? So in other words, these aspects are there, and since it's already been discussed, we don't have to discuss it more. The detail is already there. We don't have to discuss it beyond that. You know what I'm saying? Once it's there, you don't have, you know, once you have a manual on something, you don't have to, everybody has to create a new manual. So it's already there. So when someone gets to that point, then they take advantage of that. But the point is the consciousness is already there, that attraction is already there. Because if you notice what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about, in that, the individual that's involved in that process, they already have, or the two persons, they already have that attraction.
Yeah.
So that's the point. If the attraction is not there, what's the point? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that you don't have to worry about that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it has its place in the process. We talk about that also. It's about the consciousness, because the point is if the consciousness is on Krishna at all times, then this is, because that's the secondary form. Astakaliya Lila, that's a secondary form. It may be internal, but it's a secondary of internal. So because we tend to be secondary about how we see things, then, and so we take the spiritual as the primary, which is there. But since in our life here, you have primary and secondary within the material, then that's an effect. So that must be from the cause, the spiritual, which has both. So we're looking, and the problem here is we look at the secondary and not the primary here. So those few individuals that look at the primary, they're the successful ones. So when we look at the spiritual, we tend to look at the secondary also. Even though overall it's primary, but it's still secondary within the primary. So we see what Mother Jashoda does, what the cowherd boys do, what the gopis do, and imitate that. That's why it's called imitation, because following the footsteps is the mood they have. So if the mood is cultivated, right? And the mood doesn't mean the activities and pastimes of form. The mood means that full surrender to Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, that whole discussion about... is it te anukampartam or whatever? Yeah. So that verse, that's about their mood. You know, he's not talking about their activities. He's talking about the mood. And then when activities are mentioned, those are because they express those moods. That's the difference, is that when Rukmini says that I'm expressing all this beauty for Krishna, that's because it's about the primary aspect, her affection for Krishna. And then the natural feminine graces that are there that go with that is the expression. But we see with the kings, they're only seeing the secondary aspect of the feminine nature. They're not seeing the affection. Whether she likes them or not is not part of the equation. They're just attracted by her, you know, her features. But the actual point of the features are to express the actual relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Some devotees say that.
Some devotees say.
Yeah. That you need to go to this sadhana bhakti. But we can have a shortcut to this.
We can have a shortcut, like an IKEA or something.
You say that if we directly please the Guru, then he will. If we please the Guru, then he will reveal.
If we please the Guru.
Yeah, then the Swarup Siddhi will be revealed.
Then the Swarup Siddhi will be revealed. If we please the Guru.
Yeah.
And that's not the standard thing that Prabhupada and all the acharyas say.
Yeah, they do say, but...
they do say, but we have to have some specialness and uniqueness that only we know and no one else knows.
Because the Guru may be merciful to some.
The Guru may be merciful to some, but not to others. I see. So you're tending towards the Abrahamic kind of God and his representative. I see. Right.
Therefore, they were saying that.
We should go to Radha Kund, you know. We should go to Radha Kund, and that's going to please your Guru in ISKCON.
That's not Abrahamic.
No, but the jealous God, you know, that's part. Yeah, and going to Radha Kund, and what are they going to do in Radha Kund?
Get advanced.
And they're going to?
Advanced Guru will take shelter of.
They'll take shelter of an advanced Guru. Whenever you hear that from an individual or a group of individuals, that's the time when you really have to go powder your nose or something. You just, at that moment, just immediately leave and never come back, and just do not associate with those people. Absolutely don't. Because who's erotic? It means the whole reason that this distraction is there and these questions and doubts come up are because of the personages at Radha Kund. You understand? So that's the whole point. They simply take the external. It's not about the parampara, it's not about the mood and all that. They just think if I do the external and, you know, feign some feelings, then it's all happening. Right? Like that. meaning it is a sampradaya, but it's not. It's not a. You know, it's an upper sampradaya.
Upper sampradaya.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's there, who's bona fide there?
Because they claim that they're Gaudiyas.
They claim they're Gaudiyas, but that do Gaudiyas not have upper sampradayas? You know, we have our own group. We have 13 of them, you know, like that. And then I think we've developed two more. Right? Like that. Huh? Two. So maybe more, but two are very prominent. They two make themselves prominent. No, yeah, you could have more. You could have more. You could have the how you say, the modern intellectual sampradaya. You could have the, you know, we're not this Indian. We're not the Indian, you know, form in that. We're the Western form, you know, like that. Then you have the, what do you call it? The Ritvik Wallas, you know. Yeah, we're good. Mm-hmm. So it means these took hundreds of years to develop. But you can see the potency of ISKCON just in a short time. We can already we've made, you know, three unique like that. You know, like that. So there, you know, but the point is one, why would they say they're not? What's wrong with the guru? They have to please gurus, so they already have a guru, so why would they think that going to Radhakund and taking shelter of other people is going to please their guru? Why would that be an idea?
Because they say that ours is a preaching mission.
Ours is a preaching mission.
And therefore, you know, the gurus are limited to...
The gurus are limited to preaching.
Yeah. Therefore, they don't reveal what is actually Mahaprabhu has come to give us, you know.
They don't reveal what Mahaprabhu's come to give us. It means they don't reveal like Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagni Shreya Kairavi Chandikavitaranam Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Right? Like the Vidya is a problem, right? Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Ananda's okay. Pratita Panam Purnam Rita Swadhanam. That's the good part. Sarvatma Snapanam. Well, that's full surrender. I don't know about that. Sri Krishna Samkirtanam. Right? What about that? So Lord Chaitanya doesn't have that feature? You know what I'm saying? So only this thing is there, you know, so how many people were involved in that? So that means if according to that, then Srup Damana Ramananda Rai and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, they were on that most confidential kind of platform. And that maybe a few others, Urubu Goswami seemed to understand the mood and a couple others like that. So that means technically the whole Sankirtan movement can't give you that. And so then where do these guys come from? Because are they connected to Srup Damodar and that? Because Srup Damodar is over here and Radhakund's that way, and so they're in the wrong direction. Right? With Srup Damodar, you know, it means were any of these guys a Radhakund? No. I don't even know that the Srup Damodar Ramananda ever went to Radhakund. Sikhi Mahiji Sitches, any pastime? Never heard. Only the Goswamis went to Vrindavan. Only Raghunath Das hung out there, so.
because of instruction.
Hmm?
They were instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have been to Radhakund because of instruction.
Instruction, yes, instruction. So this whole thing is that, what do they want? They want to be cheated? Yeah, go to Radhakund. But the point is are these guys Indians or are they Westerners?
Indians,
okay, they got more of a shot. If they're Westerners, they're not going to get any better than, you know, peacocks, monkeys, cows, like that. You're not going to get any better than that. Only Indians can be, you know, gopis and all that kind of stuff.
It's racist.
Yeah, no, they're totally racist. You know, they all this Paramahamsa, not this body. You know, but they have very distinct who's who and the authorities and that. And like when they sit down and take prasad, you know, they'll sit here, this, that. They follow all the vidi to exact when it comes to their position and their facility. Like that. And they're not, you know, where Paramahamsa? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and said, before there was 108 Paramahamsas, now there's nothing. And that was at his time. That was when it was good. Okay, so what's the game there? Because the point is if you can't relish, then how are you going to get? You say it's by mercy, but the point is mercy has to be that you actually are applying, you're surrendering. So you already have a guru, you reject a guru and go see people like that. So if we take a similar situation, what's his name? Nittai. He came to take blessings from Srila Prabhupada that he was going to another guru. And he says, yes, I give you the blessings that for 1,000,000 lifetimes you will not, you know, find a bona fide guru. You leave the bona fide guru, you leave the founder of the line, and then go off to these others, then how are you getting the benefit? So you have to be very, very careful. Because the whole thing is there, but the point is what's thought is that it's not about, are you saying? It's not about being able to just, you know, these things and all that, and that's what it is. Because if that's the thing, it's, because they don't teach all this. So then that means it's gyan. So then they're saying gyan is making bhakti. Or they're saying, no, you have to do this activity, that activity, that they're not showing in ISKCON. That's karma. So how is this? And you have to do this. And that's vidhi. And then based on that, it's based on Shastra. So because the Shastra said, that's what it is. But that's still Vaidhi Bhakti. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, they think they're advanced, but how are they advanced? How could they ever think like that? You get Guru's mercy, then everything works. We see all the Acharyas, they spent their time preaching. So, right? Do we ever hear the six Goswamis, you know, just absorbing in the Astakaliya Lila? It's never even mentioned. Like that. Because that's the point. Married women don't talk about all this stuff to unmarried girls. Right? Only unmarried girls talk about this stuff. So it has to be very, very clear. That's why you see is all this. It's already been mentioned, so you don't have to mention it again. Right? It's just like, how, let's say we have a mixed company of men and women. Okay? And something's there. Somebody's done something. Right? So then, if you want to refer to that in the mixed company, right, then how is it referred to? Directly or indirectly? Indirectly. Right? So here's people talking about it directly. So is that very mature? Is that actually advanced? No, because those who are advanced, yeah, the adolescent kids, they'll talk about things directly and they'll sit there and laugh and think that that's, but it's not how things work. And even when girls are amongst girls, they generally, if the thing can be understood through subtlety, they won't use the direct. Right? That's better. You know. So how is this thing is, no, it has to be so direct, so obvious that, where does that come in? Especially if they're trying to follow the gopis. It's like everything's subtle there. What are they talking about? So that's the difficulty, is that it's being brought down to a secondary and then even a secondary here. But it's not. Those are just the natural manifestations of their attraction to Krishna. So if you don't have attraction, what are you going to do? You know? Like that. Just because you talk about the pastime and all that, does that mean it just means you've memorized the pastimes? Right? That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
So we should not talk or argue about just leave the place and leave this kind of people who talk
about?
About a person who talk about, like she was mentioned.
If you think you can have some influence and correct, then you do. But if it's just some people that are talking, you just leave. And just, you know, they say, walk around. You know, they're coming out this door, you go in that door. So you don't even want to see them. It means you should take your bath with your clothes, take a bath with your clothes on when you see people like that, technically. Because otherwise, they're Guru Druha, right? Did anybody at Radhakund pick them up off the street? Right? Any of these people? Did anyone from Radhakund come down to IIT and convince them about the importance of devotional service? Then? And now, and then how do we know about Radhakund? From Prabhupada. They never knew about Radhakund, and now they're going to go off to somebody else? That's called Guru Drupa. these kind of people, these are the worst. You know, so, I mean, you know, they go in with the Maya bodies and all them, you know, these Pashandis. But it's just that it's useless.
Prabhupada restricted the devotees going to Radha Kund at one stage to avoid this.
Yeah, I mean, also Lord Chaitanya restricted. He said, don't associate with the locals. Those are locals. Like that. We're not locals. He told Sanatana Goswami, don't get too close with the local bridge bussies. Because they have their mood and all, and that's fine, but it has nothing to do with us. So what goes on with them and this and that? And, you know, so. Left with only his life heir. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Left with only his life heir, cast out by his enemies and deprived of his strength and bodily radiance, Rukmi could not forget how he'd been disfigured. In frustration, because that's the point, because the Kshatriyas, because of the passion, generally they can never forgive. You know, that's the difficulty. In frustration, he constructed for his residence a large city, which he called Bhojakata. 31. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, he was left with only his life because his strength and abilities or army had been destroyed. His desire to defeat Krishna was made false. Vita ta. These were successfully greater causes for constructing his city. This city was bigger than Bhishmaka's city. It was called Bhojakata because it was caused by an oath to conquer the Yadus, Bhojas. Kata means an agreement or oath according to the dictionary. Actually, it was as insignificant as straw, kata, for the Yadus. So that's how you get to both meanings. So his is Bhojakata for destroying the Yadus, like that, and eventually Yadus, but it comes out to be as insignificant as a blade of grass for the Yadus. So. And the city's bigger than his father's, right? So that he just has to prove himself. So. Yeah. Because he had promised, I will not re-enter Kundina until I have killed wicked Krishna and brought back my younger sister. In a mood of angry frustration, Rukmi took up residence at that very place. 32. The BBT purport states, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the word Bhoja means experience and that Kata, according to the Nanartha Varga dictionary, means vow. Thus, Bhojakata is the place where Rukmi experienced misery as a result of his vow. So you watch those vows. Yeah, just stick to the, you know, four regular principles, chant 16 rounds. Yeah, because other vows are, yes. I'm not going to go back to my room in the ashram till I finish this bucket of halava. You know, yeah, you shouldn't make vows like that. You can't.
Ashram. Huh? Might have to build a new ashram.
Yeah, build a new ashram. Yeah, the guy's so fat he can't even get up. Thus defeating all the opposing kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead brought the daughter of Bhishmaka to his capital and married her according to the Vedic injunctions. O protector of the Kurus, at that time, O king, there was great rejoicing in all the homes of Yadupuri, whose citizens loved only Krishna, chief of the Yadus. Footnote 33. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, by his powers, Krishna appeared in all the houses, grihe, grihe, simultaneously, because he was requested by everyone, right? Because after the marriage, everybody come to our house, they want to receive and all that. So, you know, nowadays, the reception is you just have one place, everybody comes, but they all want to, like that. So. They had prema, whose cause was only Krishna, ananya bhavanam, right? So it's all just connected to Krishna and all that. Right? So all other things are seen in relationship to Krishna. So that's the meaning of the exclusive or the eka, right? It's just it's one pointed. All the men and women full of joy and adorned with shining jewels and earrings, brought wedding presents, which they reverently offered to the exquisitely dressed groom and bride. So when Krishna went, means he went with Rukmini. The city of the Vrishnis appeared most beautiful. There were tall festive columns and also archways decorated with flower garlands, cloth banners and precious gems, arrangements of auspicious full water pots, agaru-scented incense, and lamps graced every doorway. The city's streets were cleansed by the intoxicated elephants belonging to the beloved kings who were guests at the wedding. So that means he goes there, has the wedding, so all the kings, you know, from their ones are all invited. Because you can't go back and do the other because there'll be no one there. It'd just be Bhishmaka and a few people there, no one else, and then Krishna. So you go to the other place and then have everyone come.
Why do we have the intoxicated elephants cleaning?
You want to blow water out your nose if you're not intoxicated? Because when they're happy, they like to blow water out their nose. So, like we mentioned before, when the villagers, they say that the elephants, when they come to the village, they only come for two things, grains and alcohol. That's all they come. No saris, bangles, nothing. Just grains, alcohol. Right. And these elephants further enhance the beauty of the city by placing trunks of plantain and betel nut trees in all the doorways. Because they're big, so then they bring them. Footnote 34. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, these two trees are considered very auspicious in happy ceremonies. It is the habit of the elephant that whenever he sees some small plants and trees, out of his sportive and frivolous nature, he uproots the trees and throws them hither and thither. The elephants assembled on this occasion also scattered the banana and betel nut trees, but in sight of such intoxicated action, the whole city with the trees thrown here and there looked very nice. Those who belong to the royal families of the Kuru, Srinjaya, Kaikeya, Vidarbha, Yadu, and Kunti clans joyfully met one another in the midst of the crowds of people, excitedly running here and there. Let's stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.